The American poet Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "To be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is an accomplishment." In this episode, we will discuss the importance of pointing our attention towards our own artistic vision and self-development. Welcome to Starling. I'm Amy Markham. Thank you for joining me here to connect with your creative practice. The discussion today is one a long time in the making, and I have been writing notes about the power an artist holds when they focus their attention since well before I ever started the podcast. The ideas around this are varied, and I could probably do an episode on each element or aspect, so I'm just going to be touching the surface today. And honestly, I've been reluctant to approach this topic for a few reasons, including the fact that my own opinion on parts of this are very different than a lot of the advice out there for artists. And also, it's just difficult to discuss in general, and even more difficult from behind this microphone, really. Difficult as an artist overall, because no matter how you look at this, an artist needs attention, wants an audience, and has a great desire to communicate their own understandings and be recognized for their efforts. So, as an artist and a podcaster sharing my ideas about artistic development, I am obviously creating content that seeks an audience and needs attention for me to consider my work in some way successful. So, approaching this discussion means that I need to be very aware that I'm personally involved here and therefore vulnerable to the issues around attention in my own creative practice. We're going to be looking at the dual nature of attention and how it affects our artistic development, our true creative vision, and our overall self, as well as the power of attention, how it moves, times when it shifts, how it distracts us, and well, quite honestly, anything else that my attention is directed towards in this conversation. I think all creative types understand trying to find that right fire-water balance of paying attention or pointing attention towards their own passion and the confusing and difficult aspect of wanting or even receiving attention for what's been created. There's this back and forth push-pull at work there. In season one, I did a few episodes about knowing that there is a delicate balance in the dualities that cultivate the best creative outcomes. And this topic of attention and authentic artistic vision is one of those dual nature borderlands, finding the balance sort of things. Going into this discussion, I feel the need to explain my understanding of a word that I know will arise during this episode. That word is authentic. I am reluctant even to use it because I know it has been co-opted by the business world and is a buzzword which has been distorted, at least in my own understanding of the meaning. For me, authenticity is a mysterious spiritual aspect of your identity, akin to your soul, and it's transpersonal. It is perceived and understood beyond the material. Authenticity is something that you inhabit and that others experience through you, often without your own knowledge of that. Your authentic self is not your business mind. It does not craft good Instagram posts that help you gain a following. It isn't something you use in that way. The truth of who we are, our authentic self, is so much more than something that we prostitute, and it is not to be sold. The hashtag authentic self of the business world is a very well-constructed mask of how we want to be seen and perceived, which may be somewhat based around our own idea of who we think we are, but it is a construct nonetheless. So, as I begin to discuss the power our attention has to direct us towards our own discovery of our own authentic artistic vision, I am not saying that this is going to help you make money. That is counterproductive to the discussion of artistic vision, and I am not at all speaking of the hashtag authentic self, but of that inner holistic approach to self, to soul, which to me is the purpose of a creative practice, not financial gain or marketing. And I just want to make that clear, that this conversation is just not about that. In our modern world, attention is currency, and most of us are very poor. We've been inundated with information that seeks to engage our attention and distract us from, well, everything. Most people struggle to focus or hold their attention on anything important for any extended period of time. and businesses around the globe now sell and trade that attention, the attention of its users, to advertisers and make great profits. Think about Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and so on, free to users so that they can sell our attention and focus our attention to ads designed to catch our eye and have us click on the perfect this or the new that. These are often targeted to play on our fears and insecurities, as that will surely grab you. Got a few wrinkles? Feeling fat? Try this new snake oil and avoid confronting the root issues. Want to learn how to sell, sell, sell? Well, I bet you somebody has a system that's just right to help you triple your income in a matter of moments. Just sign your soul on the dotted line. All of this distraction pulls our attention away from our own interest, our own life-affirming practices, and for artists, away from our own authentic artistic visions. Truth is, though, this isn't a modern world problem. This is the way it's always been, not just a modern condition caused by the internet and social media. It's just more noticeable now because it's happening faster. Humanity has always had a hard time managing, maintaining, and directing its own attention. In every iteration of the human existence, there have been means and methods to harness individual potential and channel it towards other outcomes, which is why American psychologist Abraham Maslow estimates that only 2% of the population will ever reach a state of self-actualization. In a paper written in 1943 entitled A Theory of Human Motivation, Maslow introduced his well-known theory of the hierarchy of needs, which suggests that people are motivated to fulfill basic needs before moving on to more advanced needs. There's a pyramid chart that I'm going to link in this week's show notes, which will document the 5 sets of needs that he had identified. If you imagine a triangle, the bottom level is physiological needs. Think food, shelter, sleep. Just above that comes safety and security. These two bottom parts form the basic needs. And then we move up the chart a little bit to the third one, which is belonging, friendships, family, relationships. Just above that is esteem, such as fulfillment in work, feelings of accomplishment. Those two are psychological needs. And then at the very top of the triangle is self-actualization, which is about achieving one's full potential, particularly, he noted, through artistic or creative activities. But most people never even aim towards that top one, or even know that they actually want to try to aim towards it. In designing this theory, Maslow was moving away from focusing on what goes wrong with people and psychological disorders, and was more interested in figuring out what happens when it goes right. He realized that humans are motivated by seeking fulfillment of needs and development through personal growth. Self-actualized people are not perfect people by any means. There are no perfect human beings. They are simply individuals who realize that they are always in the process of becoming and therefore should never be satisfied with status quo or remaining static. They have an awareness that is unique to them, which leads them to focus their attention on self-development. Usually, this takes place within whatever vehicle they have chosen for a discovery process. This could be anything from car mechanics, athletics, and creative pursuits. Art is a great vehicle for self-actualization, as it can mirror and actually illuminate personal aspects of that development process. There are several characteristics associated with those who aim towards the top of Maslow's pyramid of needs, and I'm going to link more information about that in the show notes this week for anybody that's curious about looking into that some more. But the reason I bring this up is that to reach any level of self-actualization, one must not settle for good enough and then allow themselves to be distracted or merely entertained, but rather be able to focus their attention towards their own development. Part of the issue here is that a majority of our population is externally focused, looking outside of themselves for validation, for direction, and seeking motivation solely from the material world. And for some, that is because their basic needs are not being met. A person who is worried about their next meal or having a place to call home can't easily aim towards self-actualization. Yet, sometimes, all of our basic needs are met, and we are still distracted from that idea of self-development and growth and actualization to continue towards material accumulation and external rewards rather than inner realizations and the peace that comes through intrinsic motivation. This takes a reorientation. It doesn't usually come easily. It usually comes through a crisis. A redirection inward to discover what will help you find personal fulfillment. If you're listening to this podcast, chances are you're looking for that personal fulfillment through artistic development, aiming your self-actualization arrow through the arts, and hoping to direct your attention to a personal relationship with creative development. Attention is a multi-headed beast, and even when you think you're focused in a way that will get you where you aim to go, there are always ways that our attention might be working against us. Evaluating the landscape that our artistic attention has to navigate, it's easy to see how we could get misdirected and believed we're focused on artistic development when we're actually really missing the target. We're living in a time where there are no more visible gatekeepers. In what feels like a distant past, artists, musicians, creators of all kinds were at the mercy of gatekeepers, people like gallery owners, record labels, movie studios. And to be able to share their vision with a wider audience, a gatekeeper had to unlock the gate and let you through. There were people who vetted skills and talents, deciding who was ready for a big stage, essentially deciding who was seen and heard by the masses. These gatekeepers did profit from the work of the artist, but it was sort of a symbiotic relationship. The managers and publishers and so on dealt with marketing and promotion, and the artist and writer got to focus on the work. The system had issues. Often, the kinds of stories that people heard, images that got seen, were limited. And honestly, if the artist wasn't making money for the business end, they did often sacrifice their own artistic vision for a more profitable model. Well, those visible gatekeepers are gone now, and anyone who wants to share their creative efforts can share. The gates have been kicked down and we are now flooded with oceans of creative work available on every online platform. And this seems freeing, and it does seem like an amazing opportunity, but at the same time, it is a distracting, destructive force for creativity because it asks us to divide our focus between giving attention to our own artistic development and creative vision and getting attention from the masses so that we may be seen. Not to mention, everyone is out there. There's no vetting. There's nobody guarding the gates anymore. So often, true artistic vision goes unseen, simply drowned out by attention grabbers, as well as basic mediocre and mundane art. And where there were once people guarding the gates, now they're just invisible fences of algorithms, still managed by the same forces that want to profit off the creative work of artists. Just now, there's no longer the symbiotic relationship. They no longer have to help with marketing or investment in the creator. Instead, platforms make money because you need attention, and any attention that you do receive, they can now sell. They can even sell that attention when you're trying to sell yourself. You know, we all believe that we've been empowered by this freedom and democratization, that we hold within us the potential to get our voices out there, to be seen and to be heard. And perhaps we do, but it is difficult to navigate these crowded waters and maintain our own creative vision at the same time. If we aren't careful, our vision will get very watered down or hijacked, and our attention will be distracted from our own authentic work so as to meet basic needs, not self-actualization. That doesn't even touch the way our attention can be harnessed, redirected, and become self-destructive in the process of trying to produce and publicize our efforts. So, now more than ever, it is important to understand how to maintain our focus and decide what it is we're actually aiming at. This is where the border between paying attention and seeking attention must become very clear. And it's like walking a tightrope. And sometimes we're going to fall to one side or the other. We just have to remember to recenter whenever we do fall. Part of living a human life is to not be tempted off of our own path by the light of another. And this comes in many forms. You can probably identify ways you've been tempted to abandon yourself, or perhaps you've been pulled off a path before and you might just be reorienting yourself right now. From being distracted by family and relationships to cultural expectations, there are plenty of things that can either be used as aids or blocks in our life path as an artist. Digital distraction pulls attention away from our creative process in more ways than we're often aware. Obviously, we have to manage addiction issues with screens and the whole need to fill our downtime with endless scrolling. This is particularly damaging for artists because mind wandering is so important in the aspect of finding our own individual ideas and concepts. So when we're filling what could be moments of inspiration with mind-numbing digital content, content that is stealing potential development from our own work and siphoning it to the unseen powers. Not to mention comparison issues that arise. When we see the attention that some other artists might be receiving, it could change the way you view your own work, and you might end up trying to retool your vision to be more like what you perceive others appreciating. Your art is not about looking like someone else's, and it can get very confusing when your attention is pulled away from your own vision, or you get distracted from your work in hopes of gaining recognition or likes or followers or money or any of that. Comparison will kill creative development. I see this in my classes all the time. If a student who is particularly talented and creating amazing work is in the room, often other students will just wither and they'll say things like, "What's the point? I'll never be as good as so-and-so." Or on the other end of that, I have talented students who forget to push themselves forward and make themselves progress. Instead, they idle in their comfort zones and see themselves as superior. But eventually, those hardworking kids will come up and surpass them. So whether you're seeing yourself as inferior or superior, while you're in comparison mode, we can lose touch with our own vision. When we see art as competition and use judgment to distract us from our own process, we risk losing our magic. Magic that is within us, not outside of us. We have to trust our inner world and learn to love our own expression. Our true authentic style is not modeled on what we see in others, but comes directly through us. This can be difficult and confusing because we may not always like our own expression at first, so we seek to emulate those that we appreciate. Mistaking someone else's magic for our own is an easy attention trap. When we find ourselves in awe of the magic of someone else, their inner vision, their inner world, it can distract us or, at worst, make us feel bad about ourselves. We all have artists that we admire, people that we look up to, that inspire us. But it's really important to remember that their work is not our work. It is tempting to try to emulate a great master or adopt a popular style so that you can gain some attention or some cash on the side. But by doing that, the style that you are meant to embody and its ability to inspire those that are seeking your vision could get lost. There are artists that I admire greatly, and their vision has offered me ways to see the world that expanded my own understanding. But their expression isn't mine. Their style isn't mine. I'll admit it's taken me a long time to accept my own natural style and vision, and often it frustrated me that it wasn't like the artist that I admired, but it's mine, and it deserves my love and respect. We can appreciate the gifts of others without mistaking them for our own. And in that knowing, we can appreciate that the gifts that we hold might be visions that will be respected and valued by others. This authentic artistic vision we must aim our attention towards is transpersonal, and it's bigger than us. There are artists of every kind and talent out there in the ether. There are beginners seeking approval, mid-career artists seeking an audience, talented artists who haven't been discovered yet, attention grabbers who make work just to get noticed, artists who've been copying the style of the day, hoping it will lead them to their own voice. Only you know where you are in your own artistic development. But if you are online comparing yourself to what's already out there and simply seeking attention for your work, rather than paying attention to your art, what is within you, you will not be finding fulfillment. You will not find authenticity, and you will never make it to self-actualization through your creative practice. There is a power issue at play that must be considered here. Where we point our attention is how we use our own power. When we are misdirecting that attention and using it on external forces, it is removing an aspect of your powerful creative potential. And for some artists, that can completely destroy their artistic vision because we think validation comes from outside of ourselves and we doubt our own worth. And that fear will freeze you. That doubt that will cause us to start limiting our ideas and we'll feel like we aren't good enough or that our ideas won't be accepted or appreciated, it literally takes your power away. We can become resentful and turn away from art and lose that power completely. Seeking constant approval will take your power away and it will destroy authentic art. It will destroy everything if you're not careful. Self-acceptance is more important than any external approval. Acceptance of who we are and where we are in the process process of becoming. That is a better North Star than approval. Approval may help the hashtag authentic self that you're trying to craft, and that might get you off the ground, but our true authentic self thrives on acceptance and needs your attention, not anyone else's. That authentic vision needs you to start paying attention to it. It has been patiently waiting for you to catch sight of it, and maybe you have out of the corner of your eye. You've noticed it, but you haven't wanted to turn towards it, because to do so takes courage, and to be honest, it can sometimes be a very humbling experience. Because you remove external validation and there's no goalpost, there's no external accolades, and you're not going to be receiving attention that's outward. It comes from inside, and it takes a long time to get comfortable with that. Art, with a capital A, will ask more of you than you might be ready to give. It will need more of your attention, a kind of inner focus that you may have never worked to develop before. It will ask you to bet on yourself, for yourself, and to create from the love of creation with little care to recognition or gain that might come from your work. Because the value will not be in dimes and dollars, but in the self-actualization it brings when your focus, your attention, is turned towards your authentic artistic vision. It is an artist that attends to their own true vision, not the vision of the day or of the society, that creates the future through their own expressions. Often, it is once we direct our attention towards our own visions and understandings and away from what is acceptable or financially viable that real breakthroughs are made. There is historic evidence that often an artist must break away from the molds that hold them in order to further their own development, which by proxy furthers development of the whole. I was recently watching a documentary about the skateboarder Danny Way with my oldest son, who has taken an interest in skateboarding, which I wholeheartedly support because that is a physical form of art. Anyway, the documentary is called Waiting for Lightning, and it is very inspiring. It documents Danny Way's lifelong development and his process as he works towards completing a jump over the Great Wall of China. His attention and dedication is simply amazing to watch, and I highly recommend it to anyone who's curious. They interview a friend of his and a fellow skateboarder whose name escapes me right now, and he says something like, "There are people who do everything they can to move themselves forward in their sport. And then there are people who do everything they can to move the sport itself forward through them." That is not an exact quote, but that's the gist of it. And that just hit me so hard. We have to point our focus and attention towards our own self-actualization, not purely for selfish reasons. Actually, it's not selfish at all. It's not selfish because it's transpersonal. When we do the great work, focused on our own development and our own potential, and we stop seeking externally for that, we seek within us for ourselves, it has the potential to transcend us and therefore become for the whole, moving us all forward. It is not selfish for you to turn inward and do your own inner work. It is not selfish to point your attention towards your own development. Because by doing that, you're developing for everyone else around you. It is selfish to continue to ignore your authentic calling and to play it safe because you're scared for some reason, afraid your own vision won't be enough, afraid that you won't be accepted, or afraid that someone's going to laugh at your expression. Let go of the self-concern. Let go of the self. Transcend the self. Take a long, hard look at what is currently acceptable as art, and you're really just going to see a lot of people making house decor. It lacks authentic vision and voice, and you have to go more within yourself to find that. This is such a borderland issue. It's edge work. It's living in the space between dual understandings. To not be selfish and self-involved, you have to totally turn into yourself. And to give real attention to others, we have to pay full attention to ourselves. To embody our authentic self, we have to stop trying to be hashtag authentic. This is where words fail, meanings fail, and it just has to be inhabited and experienced. This is why all of it feels so difficult and it's hard to talk about because the line is so thin and you have to be able to see it, identify it, pick it up, feel it, point to it, point your attention towards it, and then maintain your attention to live within that borderland edge space. The work we make when we're working from that borderland energy, the work we make when we're paying attention, is different than the work we make when we are seeking attention. Rewards will be different too. Henry David Thoreau said, "The poet must sustain his body of poetry as a steam planing mill feeds its boilers with the shavings it makes. You must earn your living by loving." Financial gain may come from this work. Recognition may come from it as well, but it cannot be the goal, as attention to that aspect will destroy your vision and your output. And I know that there is a world out there right now telling me to shut up because they want you to sell yourself and sell your passions right now. But the value of this sort of work is greater than money. And no, I'm not endorsing a starving artist mentality at all. Rather, I am endorsing that this aspect of who we are doesn't have a price tag. Art is a vehicle for self-actualization, and when we focus on what it can get us in the material world rather than on the more subtle unseen worlds and those unseen rewards, we are limiting the potential of ourselves, of the rewards, and of art itself. By directing attention towards our own authentic artistic vision and creating in service of art as a whole, and allowing that process to be the reward, we can be open to any material treasure that will accompany those efforts. For generations, people had passions and vehicles for self-actualization that never had to be marketed or sold to have a value. It's something unique to our time to believe that everything we make or create has to have a monetary value and succeed in a marketplace to have an innate significance. And that the only passions worth fostering are ones that could get us some cash on the side. I think that because creative work results in a physical product, it becomes kind of confusing because we think that that product means business and business means money. And if we aren't making money, then why are we making the product? Personally, for me, art is a spiritual practice, a way to connect to our soul, to creation, to an energy that moves through us. And whether it is in my own creative process that I'm attending to, or assisting others in creation as a teacher, or being in a museum, interacting with the work of another creator, art is like church, or a ritual, or a rite of sorts. And when I was a kid, I became aware of how money and power can corrupt a church and distract attention away from the spirituality it is supposed to be fostering. When that happens, it points attention to forces that pull us away from our own spirit. So when I see the focus around art being pulled towards marketing and selling and pushing classes that teach everyone to make the same kinds of things, instead of facilitating skills that could help people express themselves, I see trouble ahead for the spirit of creation and the spirit of art. I want to encourage everyone to evaluate where our attention is going. And I know it's not a popular opinion to advise artists not to be business focused, but there's a difference between being aware and being business savvy rather than being business focused. Focus has to remain on art, or it's going to be devoid of meaning and feeling and spirit. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of interacting with work that lacks those things. My grandmother ran her own business as a fortune teller, and when she provided services to her clients, she did it with love. And while there was a base fee, she told people to pay her what they thought the guidance that she gave was worth. Sometimes she just got that base fee, and other times they gave her far, far more. By pointing her attention towards the person in front of her and sharing her gifts with that person, not being focused on money or seeing her customers as a dollar sign, she was always provided for. Her needs were met, at least enough. Maybe not always more than enough, but enough nonetheless. Your own intuition has been trying to get you to stop listening to those external voices that you've been giving authority to, but it has often been drowned out by all the shoulds of the world. The shoulds will point your attention outside of you, and it's easy to just accept the point of view of others instead of listening closely to your own inner guidance. But that small whisper of your authentic self is trying to get you to pay attention and to notice what you should point your attention towards. And if you never try it, you're never going to know. When George Lucas bet everything on Star Wars, he had no way of knowing that it was going to become the cultural phenomenon that it has. And he did that because he had a passion for it. When J.K. Rowling was struggling to meet her basic needs, she focused her attention to her own self-actualization through writing Harry Potter. Many pioneers in visual arts were laughed at when they created work that was contrary to popular opinions. Matisse was encouraged not even to show work that went on to gain him recognition because he was told that people would think he was crazy. We have to bet on ourselves, our own instincts, our own intuition, our own vision, without concern for reward or what others think or being rewarded in general. We need visionaries now more than ever before to move us all forward, to move art and culture and understanding forward, to aim towards self-actualization so that we may all grow. And I know this is only like 2% of the population that I'm talking to, so you may be hearing this and thinking it is not a focus or direction you're ready to take on. But what would happen if you did? Just consider if you redirected your attention towards your own vision, how limitless that potential actually is. So in suggested practices around attention and authenticity, I advise that you consider where your focus is in your own creative practice. Are you making things from your own center, from your own true voice? Or are you currently externally focused? In either case, you need to think about how that focus is working for or against you. Evaluate how you focus your attention. Do you have trouble paying attention? Do you give attention to things that are wasting your power? Maybe take a day in your life and just notice how you direct your energy. What grabs you? Where do you lose focus? Make observations about this as if you were outside of yourself. Observe yourself and how your attention flows. When have you refused to pay attention or use your attention for yourself? How did or does that take your power? Consider your attention as a superpower and what that would mean. What takes your power from you? What's your attention kryptonite? What are you afraid you will notice if you use that power for yourself? And if you do use that power for yourself and give yourself the attention, does it make you uncomfortable? Why? Consider how you seek attention versus pay attention, and whether that's balanced. Artists need an audience. There is no need for us to think we should not share our work. Don't be ashamed for sharing your vision. Just notice your own behavior and motivation around it. When are you seeking it and why? Is it constructive or destructive? Also, notice who and what takes your attention, in that what grabs you in a negative way or what grabs you in a constructive way, in a way that will fulfill some part of you. You might need to detox a bit. Take a break at least from some of the things that are distracting you and stealing your attention. For a lot of us, that is social media. So take a break if you need to. I guarantee you're not going to miss that much. And I do know that right now, for some people in quarantine or who are socially distancing, this is a lifeline. So set boundaries. You know, maybe just make sure you're not checking your phone every 5 minutes and give yourself several hours a day that you can just focus inward and towards life-affirming things about your own practice. Once you have noticed and evaluated how your focus is directed and where your attention goes, give that attention to yourself with no expectation of a product or an outcome. Just pay attention to your own inclinations, natural motivations, thoughts. Indulge in some alone time for sketching or journaling. Go for a long walk with your thoughts. Give your authentic self the space it needs to truly reconnect with you. It might take several experiences before there's any real connection, but be listening because it will come. Where attention goes, energy flows. And consider meditation to help focus your mind. And many people think that meditation means sitting cross-legged in a room with your eyes closed. But meditation takes many forms. Creation of art is a meditation. When we allow ourselves to stay in that moment of creating, staying with the process and letting the thoughts arise and be dismissed and just flow with your creative process, that is an active meditation. You may try some semi-autonomous methods like automatic writing or automatic drawing or frottage. I like to put words in a cup and just a bunch of different nouns and verbs and then pull them out and create something from like three that I've pulled out. Create without expectation of a finished product. Just enjoy the process and allow that to be a meditation of sorts. I hope that in some ways my rambles about attention and authenticity have come together in a way that has some continuity as I continue to consider conversations that will be important to move us into the work for imagination. I felt like this was important to at least touch on. You need to know you are on your own track, pointing towards your own self-actualization and not jumping someone else's train. You also need to know, in my humble opinion, that you'll be working without concern for basic needs to be met with your work, not focused on making money from your creative process, but open to the possibility of all the financial gain that may come through it. I don't put any ads on this podcast because this is a space meant for us to have sacred time to focus on our creative practice. I'm not here to make money off of this. It might happen eventually, it might not. I do this because I'm passionate about creating this content. If I got focused on getting listeners to pay me, it would change my relationship with the content I'm creating. So I want to thank you for listening. I know that there are a few of you out there, and I appreciate your ears, and I hope to see and hear from you more. If you are working on these kinds of aspects in your creative practice and are looking for other artists who are developing their own vision and just want a place to discuss the struggles of this process, I am dedicating some time this summer to trying to do community building, and Lord knows I am not the greatest at it. But I do have a private group within my Starling Creative Living page on Facebook, and we've been having some conversations there. Actually tonight, and it's going to be after this is broadcast, but tonight I'm doing my first meet and greet in a chat room in there. So I'm looking forward to seeing how other people are taking on the role of being an artist in society. If you're interested in joining in on these kinds of things, look for Starling Artist Coalition on Facebook, and I'll have it in the show notes this week if you want to look for it. I looked at other platforms, but they all cost money, so I'm sticking to what's free at the moment. Speaking of free, I've also put a free unit created to help kickstart your creative practice within that group if you're interested in something like that as well. This can seem like lonely work sometimes, but you're not alone, and throughout history, artists have been doing this deep work and supporting each other in artist groups and communities and organizations, some that have gone on to change the course of art history, simply by focusing on their own self-actualization and supporting others in that process. Look to the link in the show notes this week for curated content around this episode, including information about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the skateboarding documentary that I mentioned, the playlist for the theme, and ways to connect on social media. You can also email me anytime at starlingcreativeliving@gmail.com with any questions, thoughts, comments. I want to thank you again for being here, and as always, enjoy your process.